Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Today's June 10th, 2017. We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 11, entitled The Beta Kirtan Pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll read text 196 through 206. I'm sorry, 196 through 209. Sorry, we're just getting the verse. Yes. So we'll chant these together and then we'll chant 209 responsibly. Nityananda Jagadananda Damodara Mukunda Haridase Milisave Paila Ananda. When Nityananda Prabhu, Jagad Ananda Prabhu, Damodara Prabhu, and Mukunda Prabhu met Haridas Thakur, they all became very much pleased. 197. Samudra snana kari prabhu aila nija snane Advaita digeva sindhu kairabare snane. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to his residence after taking a bath in the sea, all the devotees headed by Advaita Prabhu went to bathe in the sea. Asi jaganatera kaila chura darshana Babura vaseyaila karike bhojana. After bathing in the sea, all the devotees, headed by Advaita Prabhu, returned, and on their return, they saw the top of the Jagannath temple. They then went to the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take their luncheon. Sabare vasaila prabhu yogya krama kari Shri Haste Pari Vishana Kaila Gaurahari. One after the other, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made all the devotees sit in their proper places. He then began to distribute prasad with his own transcendental hands. Alpa ana nahi aise dite kabura haite Dui tine rana dena aika eka pate. All the devotees were served prasad on plantain leaves, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed on each leaf a quantity suitable for two or three men to eat, for his hand could not distribute less than that. Prabhu na kaile keha na kare bhojana Urdhva haste vasi rahe sarva bhakta gana. All the devotees kept their hands raised over the prasad distributed to them, for they did not want to eat without seeing the Lord eat first. Swarupa gosani prabhuke kaila nivendana Tumi navasile keha nakare bhojana. Swarup Damodar Goswami then informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unless you sit and take prasad, no one will accept it. Toma sange rahiyata sanyasira gana Gopinata charya tanre kiriyache nimantarana. Gopinata charya has invited all the sannyasis, who remained with you to come and take prasad. Acharya asiya chena dikshara pasadana lana puri bharati echena toma apiksha kariya. Gopinath Acharya has already come bringing sufficient remnants of food to distribute to all the sannyasis. And sannyasis like Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati are waiting for you. Nityananda Lana Bhiksha Karite Vaisa Tumi Vaishnavera Pari Vaishana Karite Chi Ami. You may sit down and accept the luncheon with Nityananda Prabhu, and I shall distribute the prasad to all the Vaishnavas. Tabe Prabhu Prasandana Govinda Haite Dila Yatna Kari Haridasa Thakure Pataila. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu carefully delivered some prasad into the hands of Govinda to be given to Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur is in a secluded garden in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. There's another place that he was staying. So Haridas Thakur is there. And previously in the verses, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Haridas Thakur and said that he would have prasad delivered to him daily and he would also go and visit him. Text 207. Apane vaisila saba sanyasi re lana Harveshana Kare Acharya Harasita Hana. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally sat down to accept lunch with the other sannyasis, and Gopinath Acharya began to distribute the prasad with great pleasure. Swarupa Gosani Damodara Jagannandana Vaishnavera Parivese Tina Jane Ananda. Then Swarup Damodar Goswami, Damodar Pandit, and Jagad Ananda all began to distribute prasad to the devotees with great pleasure. So we'll chant this responsibly. Nana Pita Panakaya Akanta Puriya. Madhye Madhye Hari Kahi Anandita Hanya. Nana Pita Pana Kaya Akanta Puriya. Madhye Madhye Hari Kahi Anandita Hanya. Nana Pita Pana Kaya Akanta Puriya. Madhye Madhye Hari Kahi Anandita Hanya. Please chant.
Thank you.
Nana. Various. Pitapana.
Cakes and sweet rice.
Kaya. Eat. Akanata Puriya. Filling up the throat. Madhye Madhye. Occasionally. Hari. The holy name of Krishna. Kahe. They speak. Anandita Hanya. In great jubilation. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. They ate all kinds of cakes and sweet rice, filling themselves up to their throats, and at intervals they vibrated the holy name of the Lord in great jubilation. So let's read this together. They ate all kinds of cakes and sweet rice, filling themselves up to their throats, and at intervals they vibrated the holy name of the Lord in great jubilations. Purport. It is the practice of Vaishnavas, while taking prasad, to chant the holy name of the Lord Hari at intervals, and also sing various songs such as Sarira Avidya Ja. Those who are honoring prasad, accepting the remnants of food offered to the deity, must always remember that prasad is not ordinary food. Prasad is transcendental. We are therefore reminded, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Svalpa Punya Vatam Rajan Visvaso Naiva Jayate. Those who are not pious cannot understand the value of Mahaprasad and the holy name of the Lord. Both Prasad and the Lord's name are on the Brahman or spiritual platform. One should never consider Prasad to be like ordinary hotel cooking. Nor should one touch any kind of food not offered to the deity. Every Vaishnav strictly follows this principle and does not accept any food that is not prasad. One should take prasad with great faith and should chant the holy name of the Lord and worship the deity in the temple, always remembering that the deity, Mahaprasad, and the holy name do not belong to the mundane platform. By worshipping the deity, eating prasad, and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can always remain on the spiritual platform, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. They ate all kinds of cakes and sweet rice, filling themselves up to their throats, and at intervals they vibrated the holy name of the Lord in great jubilation. Om Gyanar Tamandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshwamitamina Tasmai Sri Gurudev Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So, controlling the tongue by taking prasad, Srila Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction that first we must control our speaking power by glorifying the name of Krishna, his form, pastimes, qualities, and also by taking prasadam. So in this chapter, we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's returned from his Sankirtan tour in South India, and he's in Puri, and he goes to Snanyatra festival. He sees the Lord, and then after the Lord leaves, he becomes very, very upset, and he also leaves. And then the devotees go and they bring him back to Puri. When the Lord comes back to Puri, all the Sankirtan devotees from Bengal come to Puri to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends them prasadam and maha flower garlands from Jagannath. And as the devotees are coming from Bengal, King Pratap Rudra is seeing the Sankirtan devotees, and they're being glorified from a rooftop. Then the Lord is staying at Kashi Mishra's, and large quantities of Mahaprasadam are brought to Kashi Mishra's. And rather than take darshan, the devotees go to the house of Kashi Mishra to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as the devotees are in the Lord's association, he glorifies each devotee personally. This is in verses 159 through 160. It says, Punaha, Punaha. Again and again, he glorifies his devotees. Haridas Thakur doesn't come to the house of Kashi Mishra. He stays down the road, and he doesn't feel pure enough, you know, to be in the Lord's association. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and he sees Haridas Thakur, and he asks Haridas Thakur to stay in the secluded garden where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a place of residence as well. And he promises him that he'll see him every day and bring him prasad. So in this pastime, in these verses today, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sending prasad to Haridas Thakur. And he tells Haridas Thakur, he says, I wish to touch you just to be purified, for your purified activities do not exist in me. So this is the Lord speaking to his devotee, saying that his devotee, who's chanting 300,000 names of Krishna, is so purified that even this purity doesn't exist within the Lord. This is how much Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glorifying the Lord's devotees. So in these verses, the devotees are taking prasad with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they realize that the devotees won't take prasad until the Lord himself does. And the Lord is the one who distributes the prasadam in great quantities. And in the purport, we hear the significance and the importance of chanting the Lord's names, worshiping the deity, glorifying the qualities of the Lord, and also taking prasad. So first, one must control the speaking power by doing these activities if we are to practice Krishna consciousness and be successful in our spiritual life. Everyone has the power to speak, and when given the opportunity, we do speak. Some more than others. Perhaps some are more introverted and don't speak quite as much, but we all like to hear ourselves speak. And if we don't speak about something Krishna conscious, we will speak about some nonsense for japa. Preachers of Krishna Katha, those that speak about Krishna, they actually become protected from death. And so this process of glorifying the Lord's name, pastimes, qualities, and taking prasad, they are that significant that they can help one overcome from death. And so this is how important it is for us to control our speaking power. So I was reminded by a recent experience about the importance of controlling my speaking power. I was also inspired by one diksha that I was present at, given by His Holiness Bhakti Marg Maharaj, where essentially there was a fifth regular principle to not gossip. And I'd never seen that before, and so I really deeply, you know, I'd considered, you know, what is the meaning of this? Why is it so important? Why does this person who I really respect in Krishna consciousness value that regular principle so much? And so gossip is sort of casually and publicly speaking about the personal life of someone else without having knowledge of that person's, or confirming that these facts are in fact, or these points are in fact true. And gossip is always a display of one or more of my anarthas, mainly envy, but also lust, pride, anger, and greed. And so in this way, by gossiping, we're making offense, where it can be a form of nama-aparad, being offensive to the holy name. Because gossip by its nature, is blasphemous to the devotee, who's being spoken of, and it's not following the order of the spiritual master. And also it can be committing sinful activity on the strength of the holy name if we're conscious of the fact that we are humiliating someone by publicly speaking about them. I was recently having a conversation with a very good friend, and a devotee approached and interjected in the conversation and brought up something in my past, something that was very personal to me, in order to humiliate me. And at the time when it was happening, you know, I didn't consider it as that. At the time, I thought this person was a well-wisher. But as the conversation went on, I could see that this was not a well-wishing conversation. And so someone very close to me had told me in the past that, you know, we're not obligated to share our personal lives with others. That's not an obligation. And so I didn't. And fortunately, the friend that I was speaking with and I were able to really laugh about it afterwards. So that experience, it gave me a few realizations about my own Krishna consciousness that I'd like to share, in lines with controlling the tongue through practicing bhakti. One is that we're all suffering. Just because someone is practicing Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that they're perfect, and I shouldn't assume so necessarily. But what's perfect about devotees is that they're trying to purify themselves by practicing Krishna consciousness and by serving Srila Prabhupada. And so I should be aware of that. Because if I'm aware of that, then it helps me to be tolerant and to forgive others. And also to see my own anarthas and not be so hard on myself. Just because someone identifies as a devotee does not mean that we immediately become free from all of our anarthas. I should see my part in all situations. So if I'm feeling that in a relationship with a devotee that there's some disagreement or argument, or that something is happening to me, I should also consider what's my part in it. Because usually we can see the anarthas of others quite easily, and it will just arouse anger within ourselves. Like the example that I gave of public humiliation. I mean, the response could be a reaction to meet one anartha with another. But then we end up hating the sinner instead of hating the sin. I don't know if you've heard of that phrase, hate the sin and not the sinner. So we should look within if we're having difficulty in a relationship and be accountable for our own part, rather than try to hold others accountable for their mistakes necessarily. And then I had this realization that, you know, what is the point of practicing Krishna consciousness and chanting Hare Krishna if I'm going to make these offenses to other devotees? You know, what's the point of me dressing like a devotee and, you know, performing the bhajana kriya aspect to Krishna consciousness of, you know, spiritual practices, if I'm not going to take the philosophy seriously? And that philosophy we can see very clearly in these verses today. And in this whole chapter where the Lord himself glorifies no one as highly as his own devotee. So what to speak of devotees glorifying other devotees, or devotees mistreating or not being polite to each other? How does the Lord look on us, on me, when I myself don't look lightly on his devotee, given how he treats his own devotees? And then the last thing I sort of considered was that, you know, I may not be conscious of all of my anarthas, but others are, and especially those who love me. They are the ones that really get to experience my anarthas maybe more than anyone else, because of an intimate relationship requires that type of association. And so I should be aware of that, and I should be aware of that in my own relationships. It's important. So I'd like to ask the question, have you ever found yourself in a situation where someone was encouraging you to divulge your personal life, or was divulging your personal life before you, or where you were in a conversation where gossip was occurring, and you found yourself getting sucked in and participating in that gossip? I think at one time or another, everyone can relate that that we've all had those experiences. And so how do we deal with those experiences? So in this purport, we have the prasadam prayers. There's a few translations. This is one that I found. So this is for this part of the prayer, and then Sarira Vijajal. O King, for those who have amassed very few pious activities, their faith in Mahaprasad and Sri Govinda, in the holy name and in the Vaishnav, is never born. O brothers, this material body is a network of ignorance, and the senses are one's deadly enemies, for they throw the soul into the ocean of material sense enjoyment. Among the senses, the tongue is the most voracious and verily wicked. It is very difficult to conquer the tongue in this world. O brothers, Lord Krishna is very merciful. Just to control the tongue, he has given us the remnants of his own food. Now please eat these nectarian grains while singing the glories of their lordships, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and in love call out to Chaitanya and Nitai. So nectar of instruction, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udaropasta Vegam Etan Vegan Yo Visha Heta Dira Sarvam Apimam Pritivim Sa Shishat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. And so the urge to speak is listed first, and we can actually control the mind's demands, the actions of anger, urges of the belly and the genitals, if we control the tongue. And in this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Text 49. This is in the pastime of Ajamil. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? So chanting Krishna's names as being a way of controlling the tongue. Ajamil chanted Narayan, his son was Narayan, but he chanted it offenselessly and with love and devotion. And it's that type of chanting that purifies us. He didn't chant in such a way that he was hoping that he would overcome his mistakes and his failures. But he chanted out of pure devotion. And for that, Krishna took him back to Godhead. That simply. So how is it that we can chant purely in such a way that we can overcome death? How is it that we can control the tongue like this? So, kirtan, yes, but japa, also, very important. Because japa helps us cultivate realizations about ourselves, and it helps us make a connection with, a very personal connection with Krishna. We have that commitment to chanting japa every day, and we may have some commitment about how many rounds of japa we chant every day. And we may also have a commitment to a spiritual master that we will chant so many rounds of japa per day. But wherever we are in our commitment to Krishna consciousness, whether we're just coming and we're chanting at the temple with the devotees, or whether we made a commitment to chant one round daily, or if we're chanting 16 rounds, or we've committed to chant more rounds, it's that commitment and that daily practice that helps cultivate the personal relationship with Krishna, rather than chanting whimsically or chanting with the hope that some mistakes we've made or anarthas will be purified. So first we must control the tongue by glorifying the Lord's names, form, pastimes, and by taking Krishna prasadam. So the Lord's pastimes, so reading and is a way to glorify the Lord, both personally and attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. And then doing deity seva, either at home or at the temple. And it may be something that's quite simple. It may start with just a photo of Krishna, but it may manifest something as our relationship with Krishna increases to be more elaborate. I remember when I first left Gainesville, after I had been associating with the devotees for about a year or a year and a half, I really felt quite a bit on my own. And so for the first time, I set up an altar, because I wasn't near the temple and I wasn't attending the program every day like I was in Gainesville. And I had a picture of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. And I started offering bhoga to Krishna in that way. First just offering it after I cooked it, but eventually offering it on the altar, and then eventually Krishna had his own plates. But in any way, Krishna will accept the love and the devotion of the devotee. And then glorifying the Lord's devotees. So how do we be conscious of our anarthas if most of the time they're unconscious and only others are really conscious of them? Well, we can make an effort to specifically glorify the devotees and to see the devotees' good qualities, and cultivate that aspect of our relationship with devotees consciously. And this will help. Help us be more aware of if we're controlling our tongue or not, because in a sense it's Krishna Katha, glorifying the Lord's devotees. These are what the pastimes in this chapter focus on, the Lord glorifying his own devotees. So what would it feel like if you found yourself in a conversation where someone was gossiping or about another devotee, to just speak up and say that this is inappropriate behavior, or to just walk away? And have you done that before? And if someone was encouraging you to divulge your personal life, to tell that person, you know, who wants to know, Prabhu? Or to say, you know, I'm sorry, but it's none of your business. It takes a lot of courage, I think, and also it's it's not something that come that's come naturally to me, but I found that it's very valuable for cultivating relationships with devotees and practicing Krishna consciousness, because that is our philosophy. To love and to worship Krishna, and to do that, we have to love and worship Krishna's devotees. And there isn't anything that spoils a relationship between devotees than to be offensive to other devotees. So I'll end there. If anyone has any questions or comments.
Hare Krishna, thank you. For me, one way to be aware of not being considerate of other devotees, even mentally, is like, for me, it's like cultivating the glorification of them and seeing their good qualities. And if I develop that habit, then if something comes in from my mind that's not very nice, it stands out. So that's pretty helpful, and then I can offer my obeisance to them in my mind. I like that.
Jai, thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, sometimes it may not be appropriate to just give dandavats in public, but that is one very nice way to glorify devotees internally, by giving them obeisances in our mind.
I once had an experience where someone was giving me a hard time. You know, if you're puffed up, you're this, you're that. And I didn't know how to respond right away, but then I just said, well, yeah, you're right. I am this way, I am that way, I am the other way. But Prabhupada said we're in the shower, we're trying to get clean. And so it was like so disarming in a way, you know what I mean? Instead of trying to defend myself, no, actually, I'm this way, or but you're pointing the finger at them and saying, but you're this way. So that's just another kind of a strategy that just accept it and say, yeah, it's true. I'm so full of bad qualities, but I'm here. I'm chanting. I'm trying to purify myself.
That is a nice. That's also a nice way. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a patient once who was not really wanting to follow through with something that was very important for their own health. And so I said, you know, you're right. I've completely failed you. You know, I'm not able to help you. I'm not able to be the physician that you're looking for. And it really made the person was a little bit startled and really considered the importance of the discussion we were having. Yeah, because that mentality is actually us looking at ourselves and seeing that, yes, you know, I'm seeing that I'm having this disagreement with this person, but part of it's because of my own anarthas. What I'm seeing in this person is inside of myself, and that can help disarm someone if we make an admission of our own fault. Yes.
I'm trying to develop the practice of expressing appreciation to devotees personally for some service I see them doing or how nicely they're doing or whatever, you know. And as that becomes more prominent, then when someone may be talking about that person or another person, it becomes more automatic to simply say something, what you appreciate about that person, to counteract the, and not to echo what they're saying in a derogatory way or a belittling way. And then sometimes it definitely changes the direction of the conversation.
Thank you for sharing that. And I found that sometimes that also works later. So if you're in a conversation that's turning into a heated argument, and you know, it may be a good option to just end the conversation temporarily. And then when the next time you cross paths with that devotee is to immediately, like you said, point out one of their good qualities and appreciate them for one of their good qualities, rather than go right back into the argument. One of my godbrothers, he always gives me a very good point of advice. He says, you know, I'll come to him with some problem, and he's like, Prabhu, just sleep on it. And I find that he's right, you know, sometimes taking a step back and we get a better perspective in time. Jai. Puji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Can you hear?
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. I was wondering how you would handle, you said, and I agree with you on this, that when it's better to glorify devotees than to criticize them. But in the case of ISKCON, there's certain things that we don't accept, like Ritvikism, Ritvik, and Gopi Bhava clubs, and Narayan Maharaj. Like, what about if a devotee is associating with ISKCON devotees, but they're following Narayan Maharaj or Ritvik type of philosophy? How should we glorify them?
Jai. So in Nectar of Instruction, it recommends that for the devotee who's chanting Hare Krishna, we can and they may not be following our philosophy, we can at least give them respect from a distance and not take their association. So internally, like Prabhu said, we can glorify them, but we should not drink that milk that's touched by the lips of a serpent. And if we are in a conversation where our philosophy for some reason is being compromised by one of these other deviations, then we should defend the philosophy very strongly. And if we see that a devotee is being criticized or blasphemed by someone, we should defend that devotee. You know, it doesn't mean that we're so meek and humble that defense of everything that's of value and importance to us is not an option. You know, we should defend our philosophy very strongly. But we can give respects from a distance for these other groups. That's totally appropriate. And we should, because they're chanting Hare Krishna. But at the same time, we should not take that association and value that philosophy, because it's incorrect. And if there's someone who's close to us who we see is being attracted by one of these other philosophies, then we should try to cultivate our relationship with that devotee in such a way that we can help them in one way or another, depending on our relationship, and if they're willing to accept our advice, then we should try to give those devotees who seem to be kind of maybe not following the correct philosophy, we should try to give them our association, because they're innocent. But it's the ones that are not innocent that we should respect from a distance and challenge their incorrect philosophy. Thank you, Prabhu.
Sometimes I think about things philosophically, and in the philosophy it mentions how the soul and the conditioned life is different, and you're supposed to see the two different aspects of a person. Like Christ said, simply, he says, hate the sin, not the sinner. So I found that if things like this occur, that sometimes I'll pray for the person that they make advancement, and then in that advanced condition, their problem will also be gone. because if I get involved with the problem, it's something like, I guess, prayer rabbit and the car baby. You know, you can get into that context of what it is, as opposed to being above the context. And then sometimes I'll call that catching a quality, that they have a quality, and then they get you to serve that same quality. So that sometimes works. There's actually a lot to be said on this subject.
John, thank you, Prabhu. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi.